Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome in, 1006, 720 WGN. I'm Jordan Bernfield, hanging out with you till 1 a.m. tonight, tomorrow, however you choose to look at it. It's up to you. Ashley Byhun is our producer. We just had news from David Jennings, but Roger Badish will be in the newsroom. We're all hanging out with you through midnight till 1 o'clock tonight. And we got a fun show for you. Obviously, when I'm doing a show, there's definitely going to be sports conversation, and we're going to do that on the program tonight. But also veer off of sports, do a little food discussion, some app discussion. I'm really interested in some of these bizarre apps that are out that just exist. And I have a lot of apps on my phone, but I feel like I definitely don't need all the ones that I have. But some people, I don't know what the, you know, you get those screen time updates every week, how much you use your phone. I must be like at the low end, because if there are people that are using some of the apps that we're going to talk about it tonight, they must be spending all of their time on their phones. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you'd like to join us via text or via phone call. And Mark Harmon, who just had the last 3 hours on this radio station, is sticking around because more Mark is very good thing here on WGN.
That's so nice of you to say, Jordan Bernfield. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. And thanks for stopping by. So I wanted to start tonight by talking about the Cubs managerial search. Now that Joe Maddon is officially gone, I know a lot of people are calling it a firing, but technically it would just be like a non-renewal of contract, right? I feel like this is one of those weird technicalities in journalism that seems to slide by.
He was fired.
And for all intents and purposes. But he's gone. A new manager is coming in. And because I am a loyal listener to the On the Mark podcast, I really do. I do listen to your podcast a pretty good amount.
God bless you. Thank you.
And so I heard you interview David Ross just a week ago. And you asked him about the potential of managing another team in baseball.
Do I one day have an itch to manage? You know, that's definitely crossed my mind, especially with all the rumors that fly around. And do I want to put my stamp on a team and the things I believe in? Of course. Like, you see things. I mean, I think even as a casual fan, you start to want to kind of do things your way. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's all about opportunity. I think when you have to give up and sacrifice family time, and it's got to be worth it. You know, it's got to be worth your while to get back in the dugout. You got to have a passion for it, because I don't do things halfway. I go all in, and so that's a huge commitment from me. But it's definitely flattering to hear those rumors.
David Ross is the presumptive favorite to get this Cubs job. I think everybody knows that, and it seems that from what people are saying, Mark, that he, it's his job to lose, right? That if he wants to manage the Cubs, he's going to be the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. Now, I realize that there are reports today that, you know, Joe Girardi's going to interview and Will Venable's going to interview. If Will Venable gets the Cubs job, that would be the shocker of all shockers.
That would be an upset.
But listening to your interview with Rossi, he seems like he is doing his best political job of campaigning for this position without outright saying, I want to be the next manager of the Cubs.
Which I do wonder how that actually plays with Theo. Because he was on my podcast, which is probably not quite as big as ESPN. And then he goes on.
I think it is. In my mind, it is.
It's like right below it. Yeah. And then he goes on ESPN, you know, a week later, says the same thing. So it wasn't like I tricked him into saying anything, right? I mean, I asked him, and then I saw him the next day. Excuse me. Like, he comes on the podcast. I go to Wrigley, and I'm like, you know, I had to ask you. I said, yeah, I know. I get it. I'm like, well. And then last year, he was supposedly going to be the Minnesota Twins manager, or the Twins wanted him. He told me, like, they never called me. They never asked. So I think this guy's, my point is that I think this guy's actually wanted to be a manager for a while now. And my guess is it's not going to happen. I don't think the Cubs are going with Russ. If you listen to Theo, like, they're trying to move forward, and they want something new. David Ross is not. I mean, he's new.
He's not new.
He's new in the fact that he'd be a new manager, but he was you know, he's connected to 2016.
Yeah.
So I'm skeptical. I know that if you go to Vegas, like Ross is the odds-on favorite. Girardi's plus 700. I'd put some money down on Joe. That's just I think Joe is what they're naming, what they want. To me, it's Girardi all day.
Well, so we'll get to Joe Girardi, but on that point,
yeah.
David Ross also said on your podcast that if he is going to become a manager, now he lives in Florida. He's doing this 50-game package for ESPN of baseball during the season, where I'm sure many out there listening have seen him do national games, the Little League World Series, whatever. He's very good at it. But if he wants to move back to Chicago, I guess that might qualify as a special opportunity.
It goes back to, like, what's the opportunity to get out of this lifestyle I live now and to get back in the game? But I'll tell you, my heart definitely itches to get in that dugout at times and be a part of something special that I've been a part of before. So there's a push-pull for sure, and it's going to have to be a unique opportunity that would pull me away from my family and the sacrifices you make to be in the major leagues.
Now, that was on your podcast, On the Mark, which you could find on, I assume, anywhere you get podcasts. That's what I do. I literally just, I subscribed, I punch it up, there you are. Your face is there with your pensive look.
Yes, it's your iTunes, it's your Spotify, it's your Spreaker, it's out there for
you.
Thank you, Jordan, I appreciate it.
No problem. But so Ross said that, and then it made me think of what you just said about Joe Girardi, because there were rumors that last year, Joe Girardi, after his tenure with the Yankees expired, there was discussion about, well, yeah, presumably Joe would want to keep managing. He's won a World Series. He's been very successful. He was manager of the year in Florida when they were the Florida Marlins, all these different things. This is the special opportunity for him, too.
No question.
Northwestern, Peoria, Cubs, all of the connections for Joe Girardi, it would feel like, you know, the Yankees was a perfect opportunity for him at the time because he played for the Yankees. And so that was the first special opportunity. But it feels like whether you hire Ross or Girardi, either way, for a team that's about to have a new television network next year, you could have an awfully nice narrative to go with either manager.
Yes. And look, just rewinding back for 1 second, I would not have fired Joe Maddon.
Oh, 100%.
Like, why you're getting rid of the greatest manager in Cubs history? Because,
without question.
By far the tallest tree in the forest when it's talking about Cubs manager. The other ones aren't even trees. they're barely bushes. But so I wouldn't have done that. But now you're, as far as like the fan base, you hired
Ross. What about Lee Elia? He's up there.
Right? Lee Elia is a piece of blade of grass in that history. But so, but a great rant nonetheless. I believe that Les Grobstein and Mark Giangreco were the only two, and they'll
be the first two to tell you that.
Yes, they will. But that as they should.
Yeah.
But so I think that Ross and or Girardi will be embraced, I would say, by the fan base. I think. But so they're trying to make a hire that will lead them into the next Cubs championship team. It's a big hire. I mean, I'm of the belief that the manager is important. They make a lot of decisions. They set a huge tone. I don't think the Cubs win the 2016 World Series without Maddon.
I agree, but this is a topic that I want to get into on the show. So let me start out by talking about it with you. I think that the way managers are valued in baseball is different now than it ever has been. Wouldn't you agree? Just the way that they're paid a lot less, experience is a lot less important than it used to be. And Joe Maddon really is the old school prototype manager in the context of today, right? He's 65 years old. He's been in baseball a long time. His resume is, you know, lifer in the game. A lot of these guys now, it's like, well, he's never managed, but he's out of the dugout for 2 years. Like, let's throw him in there and he'll be fine.
Right.
And look at Rocco Baldelli, won 100 games with the Twins this year.
Aaron Boone with the Yankees.
Right.
Right. But these
Alex Cora won the World Series last year with the Red Sox with no experience.
Right. And maybe David Ross can do it. I'm not.
So Joe Girardi would fulfill sort of like the Maddon criteria, you know, like super experienced, great resume to take this job. Whereas David Ross is more the new school guy. It's like, you know, just out of the dugout, buddies with half the team, easy transition.
And maybe they can't go wrong. Maybe either is a great hire. I for their sake, I hope that is the case. But it was very clear, and you know that Ross is very interested in doing it. Now he does have three kids, and Who knows how that all plays into it? Girardi is even more out there. Yes, I'm interested in the Cubs job. I'm interested in any job. I want to manage again.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, because last year wasn't the story, if I'm remembering correctly, there was an opportunity potentially with the Rangers last year or a couple of other teams that were less competitive. And the belief was Joe's going to take the year off and work at MLB Network because, wink, 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 the Cubs job might be open in a year, right?
I forgot about that. That's interesting to.
I mean, because I don't think he's got such a pedigree.
Yeah, but I don't think he was banking on getting it.
Maybe not this one, but I'm just a better job, right?
Sure.
So like,
okay,
better than being taking a last place team.
Sure.
Job.
Okay, that's fair. And
because even like the Angels, I think is a really good opening, which Joe Maddon is rumored to be in line for. But if I'm not saying that the Angels are a great team because they're not. But they have an ownership that's willing to spend money. You've got Trout there. You've got Ohtani there. If they could add a big-time starter, which maybe Gerrit Cole is that guy, you've got the pieces to be in the mix next year in the AL West.
And maybe Joe gets them to overachieve. Their farm system's not very good out there. But regardless,
right?
You go live in Anaheim,
Santa Clara or whatever.
Drink wine, chill out. You're 65 years old. You won a World Series. I think Joe's got enough confidence in himself that he thinks he can turn any situation
around.
It's good
wine out there too.
Yeah, I've never done it, Jordan.
You're gonna have to do that.
Okay, a little Napa situation.
I would say so. Yes.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's in my future.
I think you and Chelsea can make the trip out there.
I hope she's making some money over there. Napa seems like a very expensive trip.
It depends on how you do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I could do it like sideways wise. You ever see the movie Sideways?
I've not.
Oh, really? You've never seen Sideways?
No.
That is so up your alley.
I'm sure it is, but I'm bad with movies. I'm way better with TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad with movies is, at least you own it. Good job.
I mean, I'm honest at least. So can you stay for one more segment? We can do Bears?
I would love to.
Okay. So we're talking Cubs managerial situation. Talk a little Bears with Mark Harmon because he is the man that orchestrates what I find to be one of the most entertaining things on radio, the Hampo B and Kaz show after the Bears games. So we'll get his take on Bears and Raiders, and maybe Carm will do a bad British accent for us when we come back. 720 WGN. Welcome back, 720 WGN. Jordan Bernfield with you tonight, keeping you company until 1 a.m. So for those of you who are driving around on a Friday night, or perhaps you're just in, you're hanging out, you just want to listen to some radio, we're here to keep you company. And Mark Harmon is kind enough to stick around and stay in studio a little bit. We talked about his podcast called On the Mark, which you should check out, and his interview with David Ross. But I wanted to switch, do a little Bears discussion, because that last promo was OB, I think, fairly calm for OB.
God bless him.
And that show is amazing. And I love how you handle it, because you kind of don't have to say a whole lot to get them going, but you just let them go, and it's hysterical radio.
Honestly, I say five words when the show starts, Jordan, and then they're already like, stop talking. Let me get out every single Bears thought that I've ever had about what just transpired. So
it's so good.
I appreciate it. They're beautiful men. They're passionate men. And hey, the Bears could easily be 4-0 if they scored 11 points against the Green Bay Packers, right?
Yeah, so let me give you a macro point about the Bears, and
okay,
you tell me what you think. They're obviously fantastic defensively. The quarterback situation, honestly, when Trubisky got hurt, the first thing that came to my mind, because of how my brain works, was you and me arguing about McCown and Cutler 8 years ago on this station.
Which was a great argument.
The McCownies are back in the form of Chase Daniel. But I feel like because the biggest weakness with the Bears, I think objectively, is the quarterback position, in the short term, they might be better with Chase Daniel for just the next few games. I know that in the long term, they're hoping, obviously, that Trubisky is the quarterback of the future. That's not debatable. And Trubisky's clearly more talented. But Chase Daniel's more accurate. And the way that they're running the offense, Daniel is probably better for what they're doing right now. Is that crazy?
Well, so he knows the offense better. He's been with Matt Nagy in Philly and Kansas City and now Chicago. So there's that. I think he's just more confident in himself right now.
I think he's more accurate.
And he's more accurate. He sees the field better. He's a more accurate thrower. You're naming the talent gap between the two, which is real. Mitch Trubisky obviously can get out of the pocket and move better, but that's not how you win football games in the NFL. It's also how, when you don't see the field well, you get yourself in trouble and you end up getting yourself hurt, which is, you know, it feels almost unfair to say that he got himself hurt playing the game of football and wasn't unlucky. But if he had actually read the field, if you go back and look at the play where he ends up separating his shoulder and is out for this week and hopefully he'll be back after the bye, he should never have left the pocket. He freaked out, which is part of his MO.
Yeah.
And it happened last year too. So, and you don't want to take that away from him, but it's also something that you're going to have with him. These guys, mobile quarterbacks, they get dinged. Their careers get short. Look at Andrew Luck, or look at even Deshaun Watson's having a great start to his career, but he's missed a ton of time too.
I mean, remember Robert Griffin his first year,
right?
I mean, they're different quarterbacks, but if you remember Griffin for a year, it was like, wow, he's going to be a star in the league. And then he kept getting hit and his career was derailed. But I find it amusing, and we're going to talk to Kevin Powell after midnight about the Bears, and I brought this up to him earlier. I said, you know, it's funny that Ryan Pace was brought here to make the Bears the Saints, and as it turns out, he made them the Bears because they're the same thing they've always been, and my fear is that, as amazing as their defense is, they can't win the Super Bowl if their quarterback play is not appreciably better. Because I'm just waiting for them. I mean, I think they're going to beat the Raiders on Sunday, but the Raiders stink. I think they're going to win a lot of games in the regular season because you can overwhelm teams defensively. But you get to a playoff game against a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Jared Goff and a big-time offense, and if your defense has one bad game, you're out.
They're going to need some production from the quarterback position.
Yes.
I agree.
I'm just saying, like, I know it sounds maybe obvious or even trite, but I feel like as much as I want to be excited about what they're doing, in the back of my mind, it's like,
I
don't know.
It's interesting. It's rewinding back to your other point, like, are they better with Chase or are they better with Mitch? And because he's more accurate, maybe perhaps they are better. But maybe their ceiling gets lowered long term because Chase Daniel doesn't have the upside of Mitch Trubisky. I might submit the argument that I'm not even sure if that's true. I'm not sure what Mitch Trubisky's upside is. I think, you know, if you go into the season by any publication, he's ranked somewhere between the 22nd to 29th best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So can he get to 15? When? This year? Next year?
The problem, though, is that next year is the last year on that rookie deal, right?
Right.
So they're going to have to make a decision on what he is.
They could pick up his fifth option and play it out to the end, which is probably how it will go. But that's, you know, one of the most, and I know you're getting up against the clock, and I'll get on out of your hair here, but you know there's this guy by the name of Gardner Minshew,
best mustache,
right?
Probably in the league,
best mustache ever. He's playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was backing up Nick Foles, who's out for the year.
Tell us about Gardner Minshew.
Well, the point is that he was a sixth round draft pick, and Matt Nagy was asked about him at one of the press conferences fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, you know, we really like Gardner. And Mark Potash asked the question, like, how do you compute that here's a guy, sixth round pick, and he's stepping in, he's super successful, and we're still waiting for Mitch to get there? Which, my point is that I just don't know if he's ever going to get there.
But don't you feel like, if we're being completely honest right now, okay? Don't you feel like if Mitch Trubisky was going to be a star NFL quarterback, that by today he would be that already?
Yes,
I feel like we're all saying that, like, there's more development that needs to occur because we're all hoping that he's going to the light bulb is going to go on and he's going to become this quarterback that we all want him to be. And I would love for that to be the case, too. I'm not rooting against Mitch Trubisky. I just feel like I've seen enough to know that he's okay.
Swing and a miss, strike three.
And the inning is over.
And the inning. That's how that's what I think.
Yeah.
I get it. You invested a bunch of dough and multiple draft picks to move on up to get him, but so you're not going to punt on him. But that doesn't mean that he's ever going to figure it out. And my biggest concern, too, well, I don't know. There's a lot of concerns. I did this take, I think, last week. I just don't think the guy's very bright as far as, like, football intelligence goes. When I listen to him talk and I watch him on the field, the way he's digesting everything that's coming at him, football, the quarterback position is a difficult position.
Really hard.
You got a million things. They're generally smart people.
Doesn't it look like... And listen, I think I know the game, but I don't think I'm, you know, like these coaches, obviously, I don't know the game the way they do, but I sit and watch the game, and I'm like, I know where he's throwing every play. He locks his eyes on Allen Robinson most of the time, and if he's not open, it's like, which one of my guys is open? And I just feel like you watch these great quarterbacks, and I'm not even saying that he has to be a top five quarterback for them to win. He just needs to be like an above average quarterback for them to win. But you watch them, the better quarterbacks in the league, they look so much more comfortable. It's just a different thing.
Right.
It's a different
watch
thing.
Watch him and listen to him. And it, some guys are afraid of the media and they don't want to do it. But he just, when he talks 8,000 miles per hour. And it's, I'm like, is anything sinking in over there? Because it doesn't look like it on the field, and it doesn't sound like it off the field, and that's just concerning.
312-981-7200 is our phone number if you want to join in on the conversation about Mitch Trubisky, or you want to react to the Cubs managerial search. We'll do that after the 10:30 news. Mark, thank you for sticking around for a little bit.
Jordan, thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate you. Have a great show.
Thank you. Mark Harmon joining us in this first half hour. News time, it is sponsored by Team Hochberg. Here is Roger Badish.